You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I tried it once before, but I didn't get too far. I felt a lot of pain, but it didn't stop my heart. And all I really wanted was someone to give a little fuck. But I waited there forever and nobody even looked up.
What's up, everyone? It's me, Joe, and thanks for coming to episode 3 of That's Awesome. Been a great week this last week. I've been getting really comfortable in my new place. Dan's pretty much all moved in. We got 2 up and running studios. I've been super productive with writing. Everything's been very, very comfortable here and exciting. And Dan is just like, the food he is making is just fucking insane still. And we had enchiladas the other night. It was nuts. So yeah, I'm still pretty happy about that. Beyond that, I didn't know that, there's a separate bill in California for like, what is it? What was it? It was like sewage and trash or something. And I had no idea about that. So that was a fun little surprise to see that in addition to my rent. But I had never heard of that before. Maybe I've been living under a rock. I don't know. So that was, the most exciting thing that happened to me today. Aside from, I went to the post office to drop off. Well, I didn't drop her off. I waited in the car while Jess went inside and had to ship something. And, both of us noticed how many more people were just kind of out doing stuff and how many more people weren't wearing masks. It just seems so like dumb. I don't know how else to, I know everyone's talking about it, so I don't really want to. It was just something that I noticed today that, I don't know, I'm talking about now. So here we are. So episode 3, today's guest is Josh Katz, frontman for Bad Flower. Josh and I met on Shiprocked, which is a rock and roll cruise that we were both on in February, which seems like, for some reason, it seems so much further away than it really was. Like, that seems like half a year ago or something, but it was in February, so not super long ago. So he's not someone that I've known that long, unlike my other 2 guests. So we kind of went at it in a organic kind of conversation. I honestly wasn't even super, super familiar with Bad Flower before that cruise, so I got to learn a lot about Josh, a lot about his musical journey, which is definitely, I'll say unusual, in a very cool way. So I think he has a great story. I think you guys will enjoy it. And if you guys are enjoying the podcast and my guests, please donate to our PayPal. You can hear whole spiels about it in the other 2 episodes. But if you'd like to donate to myself at the podcast and my guests, you can do so if you go to paypal.me/thatsawesomepod. Yeah, anyway, that's enough of that. Let's send it over to the interview. You promised me you'd never grow up. Now I have to let go. God, I miss you so much. And even when your heart gave out, I was thinking I won't say goodbye. You promised me you'd never grow up, but you fucking grew up. God, I miss you so much. And even when your heart gave out. Hey, dude.
What's up, dude?
How are ya, bro?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to see ya.
Good to see you, too.
You look great.
Thank you. I feel great.
You feel great?
I do. I feel excellent.
You're like functional. Like, are you one of these people that's like thriving right now?
I'm loving this.
Are you actually?
I'm loving every minute of it.
Tell me about it.
No, I'm not loving it. Actually, that's not true. We started making a record before all this stuff happened, and so I was already isolating and just like being in studios and not talking to people. So this, like, really nothing's changed for me. I really hate, I get why we have to do it, but I hate wearing a mask to go out, to go
Me too.
Do things so much.
Yeah.
I just feel weird. I just don't like the state of the world.
Yeah.
I'm so disappointed.
It's weird going, dude, I went out the other day. Oh no, my buddy Johnny called me and he went outside the other day and he literally hasn't gone outside in a month.
Really?
Like he just has not left his apartment and he went outside and he said everyone was wearing masks and he hasn't been watching the news or anything. And it was like the biggest culture shock thing he's ever experienced because he just had no idea that that was something that you were supposed to do.
What is he doing?
Dude, I don't know because he's
like, has he just,
no. His life, he works in like finance and like tax stuff.
So he works
in like, no, yeah, but he doesn't really like, he doesn't have internet. He doesn't have a TV. Like he has nothing. So I don't know what he does at all, except he calls me like 10 times a day. That's about it.
Weird.
Yeah. He's a really weird dude, but he's awesome. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of feeling the same way. Like I spend most of my time outside, like normally as much as I can, but like, this is weird. I just moved to LA, right? So I'm in a new place. So I wouldn't really know where to go that much anyway, and no one wants to show me anyway right now. So it's like I've gotten into this like weird routine where literally every day for the last like month I've woken up at 4 a.m. and just went to bed at like 8:30. So I'm like up with the sunrise, down with the sunset, and like super productive during the day. I don't know why.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I'm like kind of loving it, but I'm also going insane because I'm not outside at all.
Yeah, well, it's a horrible time to move to LA. That sucks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
LA can be a very outside kind of place, and,
right?
And socially fun. And
all my friends are here, and I can't see them.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah,
I don't mind it. I was stuck in Nashville for my first half of the quarantine, and I only
got
back to LA like a week and a half ago.
I didn't know that.
I went to Nashville. I actually did all the worst things. I did right as it started happening, I had like 3 different flights booked. I was going to go to 3 different cities, literally going to like party. Like I had to go to Emo Night in Denver and then go to this and then go to this, go see Dragon Force play because I've got one of my
That's awesome.
Friends plays in the band, and like just going to all the places with all the crowds of people getting drunk, but like flight after flight after flight, and then ending in Nashville. And I did all of this and I'm watching the news throughout all of it, like still drunk in airport terminals, like just like sweat. I don't know. I did all the, if somebody wanted to get coronavirus, like they would have followed my recipe. Like I did all the things that you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it. And then it got really bad. And then I was in Nashville and then it was like, hey, then it was like masks were required. Social distancing was like put in place. And then I was like, I'm not.
When was the last flight you took?
Well, I took one like a week and a half ago.
Aside from that one.
God, I don't know. I could look it up to tell you exactly when it was, but
well, just estimate.
I'll show you right now. I can go on Instagram pretty quick and figure that out.
Because we flew home from Europe because our tour got cut short in Europe. Like the day that Trump announced the like European travel ban thing,
right?
And then I drove across the country, which probably wasn't super smart either, but.
Yeah, well, I feel like driving's better than I don't know. I don't know what's.
I think it is. We didn't even leave. We barely left the car. We slept in the car.
Right. So March 9th or 10th, fine. I think, is when it was my last.
Okay.
Date. Somewhere in that realm, and now it's. I don't even know what month are we in right now.
I think mine was too, right around that time.
Yeah, and it was still fine. And then I stayed in Nashville, and then I flew from Nashville to LA, and I was like the only one on the plane.
Yeah,
it was
nuts.
I've never seen the airport like that. I've never seen an airplane like that. It was crazy.
I've been seeing that. When I booked my flight home from Europe, it was right before they announced the travel ban, and I was buying it for the next day. So when I picked my seat, it was like I had the whole row, everything to myself, right? But then the next morning when I got there, it was after he had announced the travel ban, and they overbooked the flight, and they were like in panic mode because they didn't know how to handle that amount of people. It was horrible.
That's terrible. Yeah, you got to fly now.
Yeah, it was weird though. Like people were panicking. Like, dude, I was in Italy, in Germany, France, like all the places.
Yeah.
I was so where it was bad when it was bad, wow, you know?
Crazy. And like,
yeah, so when I got home, I didn't leave, you know, I self-quarantined when I got home in Boston.
Yeah.
Like packing and shit. And then we drove across the country and I did the same thing, like didn't leave at all because, you know, yeah, I had been traveling. I just wanted to be safe. So it's like, it seems like endless right now.
Yeah, I keep, I and also in LA, it's so hot. And I keep, like, I know, every time I wake up in the morning and I go outside, I'm like, wow, this has to kill coronavirus. Like,
yeah,
there's no way. And then I Google it. I'm like, are we done in California? Like, there's no way it can survive this heat.
Right.
And it's like, nope, not done yet. God damn.
I know. No, whatever. It is what it is.
But it feels like if it's like any other sort of flu, this is going to kill it. And then I had this crazy epiphany and I wrote it on Twitter. I was like, can you imagine the irony if climate change ends up being the thing that kills coronavirus and saves
you? Yeah, I know. I know.
Like, how?
I didn't even think about that. That's so funny. That be?
We're like, well, yeah, had we done something about climate change earlier and we had a more stable climate, coronavirus would have taken over and killed us all. But because we were lazy and we allowed the earth to heat up this much, it actually saved us.
Yeah, be a big foot and mouth moment.
Crazy.
For a lot of people.
For everyone.
Yeah, I know. Damn. So, well, dude, so thank you for sitting down and talking, number one. I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
I wanted to I purposely didn't do much research because everyone that I've had on up until now is someone that I've known for like years,
right,
like a very long time. So we had like a rapport and like inside jokes and all that stuff, right? Right. We've only hung out for like one night.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I was really, really drunk.
Yeah, I was too, and I pieced together moments of it.
I had in my camera roll and I was like, oh, I hung out with those guys. That's right.
Yeah. And I remember it was like a really good time.
Yeah. Dude, every night on that ship was a good time. Surprising.
I don't agree with that. But,
really?
But no, not at all.
I had a blast.
No, I was going insane.
Oh.
I was going insane. Like I said before, like I need to be outside and I hate being stuck somewhere.
Right.
And especially not in my own space there. I was just in like a basement cabin, you know?
Right. Oh, did you not have a window?
No. We were on like the, we were like underwater.
Yeah, because that was your first time doing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when we, the first time that we did it, it was just like that. And it was horrible. And we all, like a bunch of us piled into small rooms. And then, I kind of like, we all agreed we weren't going to do it again. We're like, if they ask us to do it again, we're probably not going to do it. Like cruises just aren't our thing. We felt kind of trapped and the band starting to get a little bit bigger and we're getting noticed by people. So it's like, I can't just stand in the burrito line without like taking pictures. And I just don't like any of this.
Right.
But then they asked us to do it again and they offered us enough money that we were like, well, if we say no, we're assholes. Like we have to at this point. And then we did. And we all just sort of embraced it this round.
Well, I think we did the same thing. Like I went into it like with a positive attitude and everything, but it was like I would say I look back and they were like really good memories. But like I was bored most of the time.
Really?
Like very bored.
Yeah.
You know? I did laps around the boat, like, and then I spent like 5 hours in the hot tub every day.
The hot tub was dope. When you got the chance to get the hot tub to yourself or just your group people, it was like that was the best day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
We got that a couple times as well. I think I saw you guys in the hot tub at one point too, and I wasn't sure if it was you, and I just walked past.
Yeah, you probably did. Like we occupied that back hot tub.
That was yours.
Like the whole day, there was always someone in our camp. Like in
there was somebody telling me that hot tub area was meant to be just for artists, but that wasn't true.
So it was, but only certain times.
Oh, I see.
But then everyone like I think. The one thing I will say, by the way, we haven't even said, we're talking about Shiprocked, which was a cruise that we were on, that where we both play. But
that's where we met.
Yeah, that's where we met. They like, I thought this was actually cool. Like I expected the fans to be a little more like grabby.
Yeah.
But they were cool. And like I met a few of them in that hot tub area and they would like stop and say hi. And then they'd be like, well, I don't want to bother you guys. So like, yeah, you know, and then they'd take off. But sometimes they just, I'd be like, just chill. I don't care. And they'd, you know, whatever.
Yeah. There's an unspoken thing there. I feel like they pay enough money to get on that ship that they're like, I'm going to conduct myself, you know,
right.
They all do. They all know, like, don't be an asshole. Like, don't be.
Yeah. There was no one I encountered on that boat that ever felt like too much of a super fan or anything, you know?
Good.
Yeah. So it was
good. I didn't either.
Yeah. But I don't know if I would be thrilled to do it again. I was just restless.
Yeah. But I think I bet you'd have the same time that I did. I think that if you did do it again and they gave you a better room and like,
yeah,
because that's the thing you ask, right. You're like, dude, if I'm going to do it again, I need a certain level of like comfort.
I think the other thing was like we were leaving for Europe like a few days after that, and it just seemed like a lot of shit to do in a short amount of time.
Yeah, why are we packing all this in? I know that feeling well.
Yeah, and I had just gotten home from Europe on tour with the other band I play in, Nova Charisma, as well. So it was like,
oh, just, I didn't know you were in another band.
Yeah, I'm part of their like live band.
Oh, gotcha.
Play keys in that. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, dude. So anyway, didn't do a lot of research. Because yeah, I wanted this to be like real, questions as they arise and stuff, but I was hoping like you could kind of walk me through a little bit of like your musical history a little, you know?
Yeah. I never thought that I was going to do the rock and roll thing. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to me. I still think about it often that this ended up being the thing that like pays my bills, that's working, because mm-hmm. when I was younger, I was a piano player. I was like, I used to do piano recitals and shit. Like,
yeah.
And I loved movie scores. So my dream was always, I'm going to score movies. That's what I always wanted to do.
And I think, I'm remembering we had this conversation now because it's all coming back to me.
Really?
Of me going, dude, I played piano and I wanted to do movie scores.
Right. We did do that.
Yeah. So great. All right. See, it's coming back. Okay.
Yeah. So I did all right. that. And then I was like, I got into drugs as a teenager, and you know, the rock and roll thing started to make sense, and I did that. And then I did, you know,
dude, interesting. That usually happens the other way.
What do you mean?
I feel like usually it's like the rock and roll thing, and then the drugs happen after you want to be in the rock and roll thing.
At the same time, like meeting the wrong people, and that's what they were into, and they all dressed like punk rockers who like shopped at Hot Topic, and you know what I mean? Like, I just sort of, and I really liked a girl in like seventh grade who was like in that sort of punk rock clique.
And oh, like the cool, everything. Cool, like goth girl.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, and then I just kind of fell in love with that, and I put everything else on hold, and I made all kinds of different music. I mean, I always made music, just like whatever. I feel like I was one of the first kids who had like Cakewalk on his computer in his bedroom. Like, do you remember that program?
Yep.
Before Logic, before Pro Tools, like there was none of that. It was like they had all of these little like weird softwares that were just okay, Cakewalk. And I did that.
Damn.
And I made music in my bedroom, and I made like rap songs with my friends. And then
I used to have one of those like digital recorders with like you put like the tape in.
Recorders.
Yeah, and you would put a tape in it, or I think I actually had one that had a CD.
Yeah, that went in. That was like the cool one. I always wanted that.
Yeah, it was blue.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was sick.
And you're just like, oh, well, there's my album. And you just pull it out. Like,
yep, just finish it. I got the master right here.
Yeah.
So then, nothing sounded good on that.
No.
No.
No, of Mm-mm. course not. So then I got out of high school, and I thought, and I went to a trade school for recording music, which lasted about a week and a half, if that. And I just like didn't like school. I realized like even though the content is what I like, it's about recording music, I would much rather just go home and record music than sit in your class and listen to somebody talk about it.
Like, yeah, I've always kind of felt that about like people always say like, well, why didn't you like go to school for music and graduate with that or anything? And I was just like, I don't know. I'm going to learn that shit on my own.
Yeah.
Like I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just didn't seem like worth the time.
And it wasn't. And you made the right decision. I made the wrong decision by trying to go do that. And I did it. And
well,
then
I went to college for 2 years and never had a major at all. So I think you were a step above.
You're right. Me. I win. So I did that, and then I dropped out, and I spent my remainder tuition money on like gear that I didn't know was good or not, but it looked good. I was like, I'm going to build a studio. I'm going to do this whole thing. I'm going to get a big console that I still have, and it's like awful.
Really?
I'm going to get rid of it. Yeah, like stupid. But it like looked good. And I was like a kid. I was like 19, and I was like, I'm going to get this and start recording bands and making money. And like producing, that's what I thought I was, because that sounded realistic to me. I was like, that's a realistic goal.
Sure.
And I had a band. I had like a band with my friends. And then I had, this is such a long story, like my whole history, but then I like.
No, I'm into this. This is good. It's actually funny because we went through a lot of the same stages here.
Really? Cool.
Oh yeah, like I had a studio in my parents' basement, and like we Same did thing. I did sure. record bands down there, and it just
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's the Same worst. Thing. It sucked so much.
Yep.
So then I got really anxious. I discovered after many, many trips to the doctor thinking I had acid reflux disease and all these problems with my body that I didn't have any problems with my body and I just had panic disorder. So that came like when I turned, I don't know, 19, 20. And I suffered for a while, especially knowing that I had that and I couldn't have a job. So I couldn't work a regular job. I didn't have any friends. I was just stayed at my parents' house and like I was just a total recluse. And then
is that when you like really dove into like recording and stuff?
No, I couldn't even, I just felt uninspired to do
Got it.
Anything. I was just like a waste of life for a while. I was just, there's nothing happening. And then I kind of got inspired at one point, feeling like maybe I could break out of this and fix it. And I booked my band a show.
Okay.
My band that didn't really exist. We didn't really have a drummer. It was just a couple of my friends who I hadn't seen in a while because I was like in my house. But I was like, I have to do something. Mm-hmm. Something. And I just called all my friends. I was like, hey, I just booked us a show at the Whiskey.
Oh, really?
We that's have to pay you're... this amount of money. Yeah, oh, we have to pay awesome. This amount of money for them to let us play, but I just did it. And I'm like, oh, fuck, well, we have to find a drummer. We have to do this. And we did. We found a drummer. We played the show. I had a panic attack on stage. We sucked. The songs were bad. It was horrible. The whole experience was terrible. And after that, I thought, I'm never doing that again, but I'm so glad I did it. And then the band that played after us, I had looked up and I loved them. They asked us to play another show with them after that show.
Huh.
And I was, well, I love that band. They're so good and they want us to play. So let's do it. Fine. Let's do it. And we tried again. We got a different drummer and we played another show. And then we just, after that, like just kept doing it and kept doing it. Uh-huh. And the anxiety got better because I was
do
like,
do you remember what the band was?
Tommy and the High Pilots.
Tommy and the High Pilots. That's a great name.
And they're now called Beta Play and they're still active.
Cool.
And I'm still actually
quick
just
plug.
Recently. Yeah, they're really, really good dudes, good band. And yeah, so I just kept doing it and kept doing it. And then it started to like work. Like we changed the band name. We wrote a couple songs that like people actually liked. We found a manager who liked us, who we're still with. And now it's like it just snowballed.
So that's still the same band it is now?
Yeah, my guitarist and I are the same. Everybody else is like, so the other two guys have been switched out.
No name changes, nothing.
There was one name change.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought I mentioned that. So like it first started out my guitarist and I with one band name and then Got we it. Wrote certain songs and then once the style of music started to change to what it is now, then we came up with Bad Flower and
okay.
we had our very shortly after that I think we got our current drummer now. I think we only played one Bad Flower show with a different drummer, maybe a couple.
Okay.
Member
Got it.
Been. But it's like pretty much as soon as we became Bad Flower, it was this group.
So it was like right out of high school, you kind of started the band?
Yeah. Right out of high school, I met my guitarist and we started doing what we did.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, so that's awesome. Was this your first band? Or
no,
did you say earlier you were like
I
in
had
something,
a band
right?
Too.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting when people are able to like hang on to like the one project and like just keep working at it and working at it until it kind of just pops, you know?
Well, I think you guys had that.
I know. Thing, that's right? Spencer. Yeah. That's yeah. And that, yeah. that story is just so I remember being like go ahead.
No, I've heard that Spencer's been doing this forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
know
insane.
Your history and I want to hear your history.
Okay, okay. We can get into that a little bit.
Yeah.
But so let me just tell you Spencer's thing first because
yeah,
it's remarkable. He started the band in like, I don't know the exact date, but like 2000, 2001, something around there. Like I think he was in middle school or maybe just in high school or something. And like, it's the only band he's ever been in, ever. And he just, and what's funny is my band and his band, my old band and Ice Nine were actually on the same like indie label at the same time. And that's when we ended up getting really close. And I remember just being like, I like Ice Nine, but I just can't, they've been around for too long. Like, I don't think they'll ever get to that next step, you
and
know, because people have written
been,
them off.
Has it always been what it is now? Like with the horror movie thing?
No, no,
oh, it hasn't.
No, no. It's gone. It was used to be like, at first it was like a ska band.
No way.
Yeah, see, this is what's so crazy is like it's like Spencer has taken like the same group of people and the same like attitude toward the music, kept that like the foundation there, and just like changed what they were playing all together at the same time. Like everything just kind of worked that way. So it was like a ska band, and it was like a punk band, and it was like a emo band, and then like screamo, you know,
right?
And then like metalcore. It's just been a whole bunch of different stuff.
Well, it sounds like he's just tried it all out, and then he finally figured out who he is.
Yeah, and this is like the most Spencer I've ever seen Spencer. For as long as I've known him. So it's like he's made the thing that's like the fringe in his life, something that he loves that's maybe off the beaten path, and turned it into just this entire world that is surrounding him about it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like pretty incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, good for him and good for you and all of you guys, because you're exploding now.
Well, I appreciate
awesome
it.
Awesome to see.
I actually have only officially been in it now for just over a year.
Wow.
So yeah, but I've been like involved with the band for maybe a decade.
Yeah, it sounds like forever. Like you've
I wrote like little parts here and there on other albums and stuff with them. Cool. And everything. So yeah, so it's been around. Anyway, you did your thing right out of high school. And then how did it get to like, when was it at the point you did like the local shows and stuff? When did it start to become more of like a oh shit, like this could become like a career, or like this could become like a much larger part of my life?
Yeah, well, I don't think I ever really took it that seriously or thought that it could be, you know, I always, if somebody asked me, I would have told you like, oh yeah, this is what I'm going to do. But really deep down, did I actually believe it? I don't think I did until I started getting validation from other artists.
Sure.
So there's other artists. And for whatever reason, in the beginning of our group, we had a lot of like people in the pop world who were finding us and then becoming friends with us. And I don't know why that happened. I think it was just like right place, right time. But like we became friends with Ryan Cabrera. I don't know if you
know. Oh, really? Yeah.
He's still like one of our good friends. And he used to have us like come to his house and play these like acoustic shows for charity, just like online. He would stream, and then like you would donate money. And it was like the guy from We the Kings and Billy Ray Cyrus showed up to one of them, and we became friends with him. And
that's awesome.
And yeah, like that kind of thing. And those just became like our musical people. And we didn't fit at all in that scene because we were writing like rock songs, kind of.
Right.
But they liked us and accepted us, and we felt validated. And then I started dating a girl who was already a successful artist, and she believed in me and liked me enough to want to keep me around, and like all of that stuff started to make me feel like, okay, maybe I'm actually really good at this. Like,
yeah,
this actually makes sense, and I should. And she inspired me to quit my day job and just do it full time. She's like, I'll support you, I'll help you if you need help.
I know you told me who this was, but I don't remember.
The Veronicas.
Right. That's right. That's
yeah. And we're still close. I still love her, and we're still friends.
That's awesome.
But yeah,
I just saw them.
Did you? Where?
Well, we played the same festival as them in Australia.
Oh, sick.
Yeah. They were so good.
Oh, that's so cool. I wish I would have known. I would have.
It was fun. Well, I didn't know you yet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's only been like a couple months. Isn't that crazy?
Really? Since Shiprocked?
Maybe 3 months? Like 3 months. Last... 3 months.
Yeah, that was like the last big gathering of people I was in. Other than 3 months all the stuff ago. I did.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, crazy. Yeah, so that was that happened, and then like they took us out on tour, and I used to play guitar for them, and like I just
got
my feet wet just in the world of music, like seeing what this looks like as a career through her.
Mm-hmm.
And watching her band and that, and then I also learned a lot, like just the way she sent emails to industry people. I was like, wow, you're like a dominant force. I see how I see this now. This all makes sense. It's not just the songwriting. It's like there's so much more to it that you have to be good at and figure out in order to like make a career out of this. And just by observing that and picking up whatever I could, I figured out my own version of that. And I'm still going, you know, off of that as my foundation.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
What a weird, like, that's like a pretty incredible story though.
Yeah.
When did you start playing with the Veronicas?
Well, we dated first.
Okay, when did you tour with them?
Oh God, that was, it had to be like 5 years ago now.
Okay.
It was only in the UK.
Okay.
So our first tour ever as Bad Flower was in the UK with the Veronicas.
And so it was you like were a band for like a good 6 or 7 years before you ever like did something like that.
No, it wasn't that long. Because what we're in 2020 now. If the, that tour was like in 2005 or 2006, I think. Had to be something like that.
2015, you mean?
Sorry, yeah, 15, not 5 or 6, 15.
Yeah, so that makes sense, right? And if you started the band in like 08, 09?
Because I want to say like we switched to Bad Flower. We had the old band name and then we switched to Bad Flower. And then like not very many months later, we started meeting all these people. Like Ryan Cabrera and the Veronicas. And like it was really soon after that.
It just
that.
Happened that quickly.
Yeah.
That's
like
so
we literally
cool.
wrote a couple like, songs that were much better. Like our song Animal, I don't know if you've heard that, which is one of my favorite songs that we play, but it was like the first.
Oh, wait, I know that song.
It was like the first radio song that we had. That was written then under the old band name.
Oh,
and it
really?
Was like the first thing that we had that was like kind of heavy and bluesy prior
so
to that.
So you guys had some like marginal success even before you were Bad Flower?
No, none. What I'm saying is, no, we had none. We just like played bars and shit and we had friends come out. But then we wrote that song and started pushing that song around and people started listening to it. And then we got our management from that song and we got all this other stuff. And then we changed the band name because we're like, okay, so this makes sense. Let's switch the band name. Let's kind of rebrand this whole thing and go more in this direction.
Okay.
Because it was the only song that we had that was like that.
And we're like, and so then you modeled the band because of the success of that song.
Exactly right. Exactly
right. That's cool.
And since then, now we have like songs like Ghost and Promise Me, that which are very different from that. And those were a lot more successful. And now that's more who our band is. Now we're
that
like,
Promise Me song is like perfect, dude.
Oh, thanks,
I love that song.
That's my favorite on that
so
record.
So good. It's so good. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you. Do you know what's interesting too? Oh, you lost your pop screen.
My things are breaking.
So we put out Ghost and people loved it. And Ghost was a huge song. Mm-hmm. It's still I've been told by our team that if it still counted towards the charts, it would still be charting at Rock.
That's awesome.
Even like over a year, like a year and a half since its release. Because it's just like a recurrent, it's just always playing on the radio.
Yeah.
It's like Ghost was a huge song and we got all of our fan base from that. And then when Promise Me was the song that we were pushing, so many of our fans were like, oh, that's just their record label trying to force them to sound more polished, more pop. And I was like, I forced the record label to make that song a single because they're like the record label said it's too polished and pop, and I was like, no, but that's so.
So they're
much
probably thinking that's like your least favorite on the song.
Yeah,
the album too. Oh come
and
on!
And I'm like constantly telling people like, no, it's the opposite. That's my favorite song. If I wrote an entire album of songs that were like pop punk, feel good, sort of Disney magical like that, I would just do it. I don't care.
Yeah, but that song also has like it's just so earnest. Like,
yeah.
And it feels like the music just feels that way too. It's like such like a, I don't know. It just, it feels so complete. The whole idea. I just love that
Thank
song.
Thank you. It's yeah,
so
it, it is. It is. And I like writing songs like that too, just in terms of songwriting where it feels like a beginning, middle, end. Something actually happens. There's a climax and then there's, I should like to write songs like movies.
Right.
I think all of our biggest songs have been like that. Like Ghost was like that too. It was, you know, every verse was talking about the next suicide attempt, the one that gets closer and closer to the end and then the end.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love structuring songs like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so bad at that shit.
Really?
Well, I struggle with it, I should say. Or maybe I'm just way too self-conscious about it.
But also some people just don't do that. That's not like,
I always want to do that though. Like I've always struggled to like tell a full story in a song because I have I talk too much. Like I use too many words to say something that could be said in such a shorter phrase, but I just can't think of the fucking phrase, you know? Right. I know it exists, but I can't think of it.
That is literally the trick of songwriting. It's like, okay, I need like an entire page in a book's worth of emotions.
Right.
To be in three words.
Right. And to be like understandable too.
And so then it's not, then it's really not the lyrics so much, it's the delivery. That's what a lot of songwriters haven't figured out yet. It's like, it's not necessarily about your lyrics. You could say the most cliche, everyone said this before, but if you deliver it appropriately, you can make someone cry just like that, just by the delivery. You could say, I love you.
That's
you know?
Exactly what I was just hearing in my head.
The most cliche thing that you could possibly say, I love you. But if you say it right and it's in the right context, if you have the right bookends next to it, it's like that can destroy someone.
Right.
It's so good. Damn. I just love that about songwriting. And I
think
that's,
I like nerding out on that stuff.
That's my strength, I think, as a writer, is being able to deliver the right line appropriately. It's not necessarily the writing, it's just
I would agree with you, dude. There's something about the way you sing shit that, like, I don't really ever listen to lyrics. Like, I don't. But there's something about the way you sing that makes me listen to all of your lyrics.
Oh,
and it's become, like, one of my favorite parts of the album, which usually how, like, I'll know a whole album's words by heart. And until I start singing them and someone be like, wow, that was a cool line. And then I'll think about it and be like, oh yeah,
that was a cool line.
Yeah. That is cool. I've known that song for 20 years.
Right.
You know, I just never thought about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that too. And I'm glad that you're saying that because that's what I want to happen when people listen to our stuff. Like I want it to be a lyric focused thing.
Yeah, well, I think you've done it, dude.
Thank
well done.
You. And I think the next record, what we've been working on now, is even more so like that. And I've been self-producing it too. So there's a lot of moments, like for the most part, I'm keeping the vocal like really loud and really dry.
Okay.
On so much of this next record, because I'm just like, I like what I'm saying and I want people to really hear what I'm saying, and I'm not going to decorate it with all this bullshit. Like, I'm going to leave it.
That sounds cool.
Really, really up front. And so we're doing that a lot, and it's really exciting and it's really heavy.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, I'll have to send you stuff on the DL.
What's the plan? Are you like, well, let's go back first. We'll get to future.
Okay.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
That's okay.
So like, anyway, so you started touring, your first tour was in Europe.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it was. Driving a rental car like all of us stuff. I mean, I got to sleep in a bunk with the girl I was dating because she had but my band had to stop in a rental car and learn how to drive
on
the road for the first time ever.
Oh, they must have hated you.
But I got us the opportunity. It was like, I got us on tour, like we're playing for sold out crowds every night. Like,
right. What were those shows like?
Oh, at the time, it was the most amazing thing I'd ever experienced.
How big were they?
They weren't that big. I want to say they were like the same size as what we would do now in the U.S., which would be like big club, small theaters.
Okay.
You know? Like, I think the biggest one we did was in London with them. That was like 1,000 cap that was sold out.
Gotcha.
Everything else was like from 350.
Dude, that's so crazy. First tour.
Yeah, that was the first tour ever.
And my first tour, we were just playing to the other bands.
Yeah.
Like,
bands.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah, so that was
That's so cool. sick. I'm jealous.
Well, we're all here now.
Yeah, we did
we're
it.
We're all doing fine. You know what's the best? This is like a side tangent, but I'm sure that you guys have experienced this too. When you're like the support band for so long and you play all these venues, especially in the US, you play all these venues, you're like, I've been back to this place a million times and I'm the support band again and I'm the first of three. And then you've like it's finally starts to hit for your band and you go on your headlining tour and you sell more tickets at the same venues than you did when you were the support band.
See, I can't even relate to that, dude, because my old band, like at our biggest, we would maybe bring out 100 people.
Right. Oh, and you're new to Ice Nine, so you didn't get to do
that. Yeah, and it was – yeah, exactly. So in a way, I got to miss a lot. I missed the
best part of this.
I know. That's what I was going to say, but I got to miss a lot of the hardships, but really missed out on, like, the satisfaction of, like, the hard work.
That literally the most rewarding part. You're like, wow, I'm back here.
Well, dude, and I just said this to Cody when I talked to him. I was like, the first tour I did with Ice Nine, we were on a bandwagon. And I was like, this fucking rules. Like, I have a bunk. Like, and everyone else is like, man, these bunks, they're just so rocky. Like, I can't even sleep. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the best thing ever. I'm sleeping on a bunk. This is great. Awesome. And now, after that, every tour has been a bus. Everywhere we've been. And now, I'm
when
like,
you go back
this bus fucking sucks, dude. Like, the last bus was better.
Like, same with us. We do buses now too. And when we do like we have like, oh, you have three festivals and it's just this and that. We're just going to do a bandwagon for this because it's so small. Like, there's no point in getting a bus for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then we do it and we're all on the bandwagon. Like, we're never doing this again. This bandwagon sucks. Like, never, ever again.
You know, it's so easy to get jaded.
Dude,
you know?
We're so jaded. We're such and we're not even that big. We're not even like Miley Cyrus. We're just like, kind of doing pretty good in the rock world.
Right. So
skating by on our buses, but we're like,
yeah, barely getting by on our one bus while everyone else is touring in like six or seven buses, you know.
So good.
It's so funny how like no matter what size band you are, you're always kind of like, I don't understand why we're not like bigger than we are.
Dude, I would have given anything to be where my band is now.
Right.
Like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'd have been like, that's success. Like, that's more than enough. And yeah.
Dude, I remember just being stoked when my like band in high school became like a local success.
Right.
You know? I was like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, people come to our shows.
Yeah. Like, yeah. We had 50 people there last night. Like, 50 of our friends. Like, some of those people we didn't even know.
Right, right. And they stayed for the whole show. It was super cool.
Oh, don't you sometimes miss those days? I do.
So much. Yeah, so much. It to the point where like I've kind of started tossing around the idea of starting a band that has no intention of getting bigger.
Just you like could be that again.
Well, just to go play like shows that like you might actually have like an organic fan there from you playing music. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because like those are the band you only discover those bands live.
Right.
Like everyone that's at an Ice Nine show now is coming because they know what the show is. But like you don't get to like play for, I don't know. It's just different. It's a different vibe.
I mean, I don't feel that. I think because I am the Bad Flower guy, it all still like anyone who shows us my shows, it still feels like that. I'm still like.
Yeah, I guess that's, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But if I fronted a band, I mean, there'd always be some crossover. Like, if I fronted something and then there would be Ice Nine fans that would come. But I would also say that, like, the music that I would do would be so off from what Ice Nine is. Totally. That, like,
well, you know what's interesting is I'm friends with, do you know the band I Don't Know How But They Found Me?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm really close with Ryan, and I worked with them a little bit in the very beginning, like, before anybody knew about the band. They were all underground. And obviously the singer was from Panic at the Disco and Ryan mm-hmm. was from Falling in a Verse. Mm-hmm. And the way that they started the whole thing was like completely DL because neither of them wanted to get a fan base just because both of them already had a fan base from their other
So product. It was kind of the same idea.
It was the same idea, yeah. And eventually, obviously, like it happened that way where people found out. But in the very, very beginning, like we did shows with them just so that they could like play for a couple of our fans. Huh. Rather than like, hey, we're these two, you know, we're basically a super group from these other really big bands.
Yeah, and that's what sucks is it just becomes that.
Yeah, when they first started, they did exactly that, and they didn't tell anybody what
it was,
what they were doing, and it was I had a lot of respect for that the way they did it, and now they're exploding and they're huge, and you know it's all going
like really quickly.
Yeah, it happened really fast. But they're also both really talented guys, and their songs.
Yeah, those songs are real catchy.
Yeah,
really catchy. Yeah, I actually, no, we didn't play with them. We played with Simple Creatures. That's the
One. That's a different
the other one.
Groupie kind of thing.
All right, anyway, so you guys did that tour. And then, so that's when you started seeing like more, well, that's when you started touring more, I would guess, right? Like you.
No, it was the one with them and then we couldn't get another one.
Oh, really? You didn't even go off and tour on your own or anything?
No, because it was just in the UK. We couldn't get back there. We couldn't afford to get back there.
That's right. Like you hadn't built anything from it, really.
No, and there was
or anything happening. That you could do with any.
Yeah,
yeah.
We couldn't do anything with that. Honestly, it was just for the experience. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when we go back to the UK now, every now and again, some like there will be some in the audience. Like I saw you with the Veronicas, like how many years ago? I'm like, wow, really? That's amazing. That's cool that you're still here. But yeah, we had like a lull, I think, and then eventually. Eventually, we were with a label then. We signed with this indie label that doesn't exist anymore. They didn't even give us tour support to do the UK tour. Even though there was nothing else happening, they didn't give us tour support. Like, it sucked. It wasn't a good situation. Mm-hmm. But then we got out of that. Republic Records bought us out of that.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we kept writing songs. We kept doing the thing. And our management was pretty good. And they were sort of starting to work our stuff and get the feelers out. And then we started doing showcases. So we stayed in LA and just did showcases for labels.
Got
and in the beginning, it was like we had two shows at the Troubadour back to back supporting bands that were selling it out.
Got it.
And every industry person under the sun in LA came. So like CAA was there. We didn't have an agent. We had nothing. But CAA was there. All the
labels. Who was setting all this up? Your management?
Our management was. Yeah, our management was good. So at the time, they had 30 Seconds to Mars. They had like the Bravery when that band was huge and Airborne Toxic Event. I think they still have. They were like a good management company. Mm-hmm. And they still are. And so they set that all up, and every label and every agent passed on us.
Really?
Everyone passed. Oh, the only one that was interested was Republic. That was the only one that like wanted to come back and see us again and like have a conversation about it. Then they buttered us up. We went out to dinner. Like, you know how label people are?
Mm-hmm.
You know, take us out to dinner. Didn't offer a deal.
Wow.
So we were just like stuck for a while. So then we kept doing what we were doing. And then eventually John Barbados, the fashion designer, linked up with Republic Records.
Yeah. How did that happen? Do you know that story?
He's just like he's like a rock and roll guy. Like his whole fashion brand is all so like based around rock and roll. Like it's, it don't make sense that he's involved with it more. So he just like started a deal with Republic. And as soon as they got their deal together for them to start their own rock label, we were like the first band they signed.
They went back so they came back to you.
Yeah, they came back to us and said, we want to make a deal. Flew us out to New York. We showcased properly for them.
Uh-huh.
For the New York people, not the LA people. And the New York
the
people.
The smarter people.
Yeah, signed us. They literally signed us instantly. Or they agreed to sign us instantly. Then lawyers were back and forth for a while. And then we put out an EP that we self-produced with Republic. And then I'm going to make this a little bit shorter. We got a couple tours. Things were starting to happen.
Yeah, you don't have to go like super.
Yeah, we had one single going. That was that single Animal from that long ago.
Wow.
Was still like the main.
When did that come out?
It's come out like five different times throughout our career. So that's like a tough question. I don't know. I don't know how to answer it.
When did the first one come out?
The first one?
Yeah.
Under the last band name. Like almost 10 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Got it. And then like, and then it was pulled down and then put up again and pulled down. And then the final one, the one that still exists now, came out with our EP, which was, that was the only thing we released through Republic, which had to be like 4 years ago or something.
Okay.
3 or 4 years ago. That did okay. And then Republic wasn't working out for us anymore. John Barbados left Republic, went to Big Machine, linked up with Scott Shetta and those people there. And then they were able to buy us off of Republic and bring us to Big Machine. And that's where we are now. And we love it there.
That's awesome.
So then we made our first actual full-length record, so Ghost and Promise, you know, all those songs with Big Machine.
So that's your first full-length?
Yeah.
Nuts.
This much time of being in a band and doing it in, like, three different labels, you know, like, all of this stuff.
That's happened. So crazy.
This is our first and only, as of now, full-length record.
It's so cool because, like, I from that story, like, the abridged version there, it's kind of hard to tell, like, if you're successful or you're not, like based on that story, because like there's a lot of big details that like must have happened, but it seems like a lot of them happened like with these really big jumps. It was like it wasn't like a gradual slope up. It was like steps where there was plateaus, where it was flat. Yeah. And then you like, oh yeah. And then, so like we didn't do anything for a long time. And I, you know, discovered I had all these like medical issues. And then we toured Europe with the Veronicas.
Right.
We came back and didn't do anything.
You know? It's so true though.
Yeah.
It hasn't been like that lately.
Right, like, right. I know.
I think once our record came out, like our record.
Then
now,
you just have to do it.
Then it was just this.
Right.
Straight up. But no, you're right. In the beginning, it was like, oh, this sucks. Pat, step up.
Right. And it's at almost like a point where it sounds like you were almost going down. Like you're like, oh, yeah. And then every label passed on us.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know?
It totally felt like it was going down.
That's so crazy.
I couldn't believe every
label. I mean, were you getting bigger through all of that?
Nope.
No. So when did you get to the point where you're like, oh, wow, we're like, or let's say like you could sell out like, you know, a mid-sized club or something, like 500.
Yeah, that didn't happen until once Ghost went on the radio, everything changed.
Okay, so that was like the big one.
Ghost went on the radio, and then we started touring because we had a radio song. We started touring with the other rock bands.
Ah.
You know, like tours with like Pop Evil and Nothing More and like those types of bands who like had the rock radio songs. And then eventually Shinedown, which was huge and great. Like direct support for Shinedown was massive for us.
Wow, I didn't know you did that.
Oh, yeah. We did a full tour direct support for Shinedown, and it was – I think that was probably the biggest step up, which is interesting too, because I feel like we now have cultivated a much younger fan base that I really, really love, but they weren't at the Shinedown shows. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
I don't know.
Do you think it's like, I feel like the, I mean, I have, dude, I do these live streams on Instagram and there's like five people that have Bad Flower in their name that are just in my live streams every day.
Oh, really? Cool.
And they're like younger kids. So you're right. Like, I definitely know what you mean. It is funny, though. Like, since we started playing, Ice Nine started playing the more, like, active rock scene, like, even Shiprocked or whatever.
Yeah.
We have way, way, way younger fans.
Yeah.
Like kids. In, yeah. Like, families and shit, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think we're just doing something right on the other end of things, like on the social media end. And I think that's the part where a lot of bands fall short. Like, they can get these amazing tours and have these huge radio songs, but you have to be able to, like, intertwine yourself in what's, like, real and happening now. And I know that I put effort into doing that. And I also think it's a blast. Like, I have so much fun, like, fucking around with Stan Twitter. Like, I just think it's so fun.
I don't even know what that means.
Oh, dude, you got to get on it.
So, see, I was going to say, I am like, absolutely clueless with this shit.
I'm sure Spencer does. Like, I'm sure.
Oh,
Spencer,
yeah, he knows everything. But I hate it. I hate that stuff.
But that's fine, too. Like, at least you have, like, Spencer does it, so you don't need to. You can, like, focus on what's important to you.
Yeah.
Same with my band. Like, my band doesn't give a shit. It's just me, like, on all the
accounts. If it's not, like, a joke, like, if I can't make it into an obvious childish joke that I think is funny, then I'm not interested.
Right. Well, that's the thing about, like, best Stan Twitter.
But, dude, try doing around, that, like, in our band, in a band where you can only talk about horror movies.
Yeah, you're a little pigeonholed.
Right.
It's tough.
Like, we can, the things that I think are really funny with my band, like, I get a kick out of, like,
right.
I don't, we have something coming out on Mother's Day that's, like, I think is fucking hilarious, and it's definitely around horror movies and shit. But, like,
when's Mother's Day?
It's like in a couple weeks, I think, or a week and a
half. So you guys are putting out a song or a piece of content or something? Can you say?
It is both, I can say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're working on stuff, and I so desperately want to release content, but we're, like, I'm in conversations back and forth with management and label and everyone. They're like, we shouldn't be releasing stuff right now.
Why do you think?
Well, people aren't driving as much. So, like, if we go to radio or something.
No, that's true. Yeah.
So
something to be taken super seriously. I would agree with that.
Got it. So what you have now is, like, it's more just, like, content. It's not
it's like a fun thing. It's okay. Nothing cool. Special, you know?
Can't wait to see it.
I mean, it was purely done as a joke, so.
Right.
There's that. Yeah. Sweet. So, like, we're trying to keep things fresh, but I think that's interesting. Like, I didn't think about that, the driving thing. Like, you know, in my head, I was like, people are just fucking dying for content right now.
They are, but I think if you're being smart business-wise, it's weird. Or you have to figure out how to maximize your internet potential with whatever you do. And our label is great, and they are cool. Like, they're hip with the younger way of music consumption with streaming and all that, but they're still, like, a very much radio focused, mm-hmm. like a dominant radio label. And so for them, it's like, not, this isn't the time. Like, people can't work, so they can't sit in traffic and drive. We shouldn't be putting things out.
That makes sense, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still a very foreign world to me. Cause I don't, you know, I never listen to the radio.
I don't either, but it's like, that's why our band is doing well, probably a lot too with you. I think you guys have had a lot of radio success too, right?
Yeah. Octane has been, like, huge.
Octane's
for us.
Huge for bands like us.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's so weird how, like, we're kind of grouped in together because we're not
the same, similar.
No. At all.
But that's cool, though. Like, I think that's the genre actually progressing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool. What I was talking to my girlfriend about the other day is, like, it's interesting to see now this, like, new wave of, like, what I would call, like, the younger generation that has this foundation of music built in, like, rock and, like, heavy shit, you know? Like, right. It might be a little different for Ice Nine, and I'm talking about, like, the really young kids that come into our show, but, like, it's interesting to see now kids that were into, like, I don't know, like, Thursday and, like, you know, all bands from that era, Thrice, Under Oath, whatever, like, back then, or even, like, heavier bands. Like, now they're older and have kids and they, like, listen to that music.
Right.
With their fucking kids.
Right.
You know? And they just grow up loving that shit too, you know? Well, it's just a very new thing.
That's, like, become the new 90s.
Right. It's so crazy, though. But I feel like it's never happened like this before because heavy music like that wasn't, like, it didn't have a huge mainstream appeal until, like, the 2000s, I feel like.
Right.
When streaming and all that shit happened.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's a lot of, I think music thrived. Just the creativity and music by itself. The business tanked, but creativity just went.
Oh, nuts. I agree. I was listening, I was telling someone the other day, I couldn't, if my old local band played with the local bands I play with now, we'd be horrible.
Right.
There's so many fucking good bands now.
Yeah, and it's great.
And kids are, way more critical of what they can do because of, the technology available to them.
It's great. Yeah. I'm, one of the few people who is the biggest supporter of, the way the music industry is now, of, streaming dominant force.
I am all about that.
Why do so many people are I wish musicians made more money. Really? We get to live the coolest fucking lives ever. We don't need mansions.
Right. Well, yeah, there's truth to that.
We don't need them. Doctors should have mansions.
My only counter argument to that is not necessarily personal, but I would love for people that aren't as big to still be able to make a living playing music.
Sure. But
they could devote their time to it.
But I would love for teachers to be.
Oh, yeah, me too. I mean, I'm not saying that musicians deserve more than other people.
Right. I just think that everybody should be living a more comfortable life doing what it is that they do. But I certainly don't think that we need, musicians to be the most powerful.
No, I agree.
Richest people in the world. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Dude, these lives are so cool. So cool.
You don't need, and it's funny, the more popular and famous you get, which I am not.
Neither.
Yeah, I know, but neither of us are truly famous by any means.
No.
But the more free shit you get too.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. You know? I'm getting free shit on Tuesday.
All right. Yeah, dude, I have some free shit coming. And I'm not going to not take free shit.
It's true. It does happen.
Yep. I'm actually, Yeah, I'm sending you some free shit.
Yeah, you're sending me free shit. I got clothes coming for. I literally just had a conversation with this guy the other day who was like, I want to send you some clothes.
Cool. There you go. Not a bad move there. I want clothes.
And also, John Varvatos is the head of our label, so he just dresses us. And
I guess I'm not super familiar with that fashion line.
It's big. It's like
I know. I know the name. Spencer says it all the time. But.
Yeah. But what's interesting is I don't wear a lot of John Varvatos, and he knows that. I'm close with John. And I've talked to him about what I wear vegan oversized sweaters that are just adorable and punk rock pants. And that's my whole thing. And he knows that and he doesn't care. So that's what's cool about that partnership. He's he doesn't force.
Yeah, it's not his business.
No, but he did have us do one of his fashion campaigns. And that was the coolest I've ever been in.
That's cool.
So if you walk into a John Varvatos store, you see our band just on all the TVs. And
really?
Yeah, it's sick.
Oh, that's sick. Oh, I have to find one.
I just watched it the other day. I just showed someone yesterday. I was like, by the way, I don't know if you know, but I'm a supermodel, so.
All right. So now let's move future stuff. So we, I know we were impacted by the coronavirus for touring.
Yeah.
I imagine you guys have been as well with the upcoming one, right?
Yeah. Well, we've already had all of our festivals cancel.
Yeah.
Or postpone or whatever. And the only.
Which festivals were you doing?
I don't remember all of them.
I don't think we were doing any together, were we?
We were doing all the Danny Wimmers.
Yeah, so were we, I think.
Yeah, I think we were doing them together.
Oh.
Probably.
Well, that sucks. I would have liked to do that.
Yeah, we had Incarceration Festival was one I was
thinking about. I don't think we were doing that.
Yeah, we were on a bunch of them, and they've all canceled.
Yeah.
What's weird is we're on one of the last tours that hasn't canceled yet. So we have Incubus and 311.
Yeah.
Incubus, 311, and us. And it's the only summer tour that has not canceled yet. They're still holding on. And I think what I was told was it's the last big Live Nation tour that is yet to cancel.
Yeah,
and it didn't, starts mid-July.
Mid-July? I thought it was later.
Nope, mid-July.
There's no way.
I know. That's what I'm saying. There's no way. I don't think there is either, but we're still here. They haven't canceled it. I'm asking my team every day. They're nope, they're still holding on.
But do you know why they're not canceling it? I think I know why.
If it was me and if things did get better and the heat killed the thing and everybody was good and they canceled all, social distancing went away and they opened everything up, they would be the only tour out and everybody would get tickets to it.
Okay, that makes sense. Here's what I think.
Mm.
I heard this morning. I don't know if it's true. I heard that Live Nation just had to lay off 30% of their staff.
Yeah.
I also heard that if Ticketmaster refunded even 30% of the ticket sales that they have right now in their bank, they would go out of business.
Right.
So that's the reason they're not, they're trying to make every tour either postponed or not canceled, because if they have to refund money, they're fucked.
Right. And you think Incubus is one of the ones they're just like,
I mean, maybe Incubus hasn't like said they want to reschedule it. I don't know. And so they're like, well, we can't cancel it. I mean, who fucking knows? This, again, yeah, none of that is based in anything I've researched. This is just something that someone said to me.
No, but that sounds right. And I think that if Incubus is the only tour that stays and they're able to get away with it and people actually show up to it, it might save Live Nation and Ticketmaster.
I want
to
go.
Yeah, wouldn't you go?
Do you remember telling me on the boat about that?
About Incubus?
Yeah.
No. I was What did I say?
I won't say it on here, but I'll tell you after.
No, say it. Is it
funny? Okay, dude, you looked at me. We were like having a real good time at this point, and you looked at me and you go, dude, I swear to God, I'm not this kind of person. I swear to God. But like, I'm really excited about this. Can I just tell you how much we're getting paid on this tour?
Wait, okay, stop there. Don't tell them that.
I won't.
That's so funny. I'm so sorry. That's such a
joke. No, dude, that's so good. It was like so honest because you were actually excited about it.
I'm the worst.
Oh, it was so good. That was really fun. Oh.
But you know what sucks?
What?
If the tour does cancel, I have been operating on the idea that I'm going to make a really substantial lump sum of money with my band and the whole team. Right. And now I've been like living my life like that. You know, I've been going on trips and I wanted to go to Nashville and do this. And then everything happened. And I'm like, holy shit, we might not make a dime this year.
Yeah.
What are we going to do?
Yeah. It's fucked.
Yeah. So that's a little worrisome. Like I wish
that was a big thing for me too, like with moving and shit. This whole move was supposed to be funded partially by the tour I'm supposed to be on right now.
Man, it's awful.
It is what it is.
That's so funny. I said that to you. I'm sorry. I'm glad that you're,
dude,
you think it's like charming.
I loved it.
It really wasn't.
You said by that point, dude, like, you'd said several things to me at that point where I knew it was like, it was not a brag. It was like, can you even believe this?
Yeah. I was really like a little kid, just excited. Yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, that's true. I was so drunk on that ship. I was throwing pizza at fans.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to tell you a story about you.
Did I throw pizza at you?
No.
Okay, good.
We had bumped into each other a handful of times on the boat, and we like kept talking, being like, we have to hang out, or like,
yeah, we bonded over the fact that we were vegan and all right. that.
Yeah. So all that shit. And then we ended up hanging out that night, and you were already pretty drunk.
Yeah.
Early in the night, and you were like, oh my God, dude, is Spencer around? Like, not like I don't want to hang out with you, but like, I got to hang out with Spencer and I got to take a picture with him because there's this girl. Yeah. and I kind of like her, and she's like a Big Ice Nine Kills fan. So at that point already, I was like, okay, I totally get this dude's vibe. Like, he's going to be honest 100% of the time.
I just really opened up, didn't I? I was
immediately.
Just like,
and then dude, I don't know if you remember, we had to take another picture. There was some fans that stopped, me and Ricky, I think, our other guitar player, and you had been walking by, and we started talking. So we had just taken a picture with
that
girl. You came over. They wanted to take a picture with all three of us, and we had to take the picture like five times because you kept adjusting your beanie because you didn't think it looked cool or something.
That's what I'm saying.
So good, like, man.
I embraced the shit.
I love it.
I was like, I'm just going to be that guy.
It was so funny.
Yeah, I got really – that all sounds about accurate. Yeah. Sounds
like your whole group was a blast.
We did have fun. And then we were hanging out with the Asking Alexandria guys, and they get into trouble too. And it was it was a whole thing. But I got really drunk. And apparently – I don't remember doing this, but it's like the one takeaway. Like, it's the one most embarrassing thing, but now I kind of laugh at it. I was chucking pizza at fans, and I was first – I was told that, and I was like, wait, like just like – like a, just like an asshole. And my tour manager was like, no, you thought you were being nice. You thought that they wanted a slice. And you were like, and fans were coming up to you like, oh, hey, Josh and Bethel, can I take a picture? And I was like, yeah, you want some pizza? And I just started chucking
slices. Oh, my God. People. That's amazing. Was that like by the pizza place? In
yeah,
because
I would go. That was one of my favorite things to eat was the pizza with no cheese, like
dude,
just the mushrooms.
You told me that the last fucking day on the boat.
Oh, it was the best thing.
I know, and I got it right then. And I was that. This was the only time where I was actually a little bit drunk on that whole cruise. Like I didn't really drink, and someone asked me like, "What are you eating?" And in my mind, I wanted to say pizza bread with sauce. But the way it came out, because I spoke before I thought was I'm eating bread wets. And
bread
so now, yeah, bread wets.
Okay, great.
You know, like wet bread.
Right.
So that's now what we've been calling pizza without cheese is bread wets.
I like that.
Yeah.
Bread wets tonight?
Yeah.
You guys want to do frisbee wets?
Yeah, frisbee wets. So that's that you invented that. You co-invented it because I didn't know about it.
I love that. Yeah. No, you can do that at most like Domino's.
No, I know you could do it. I just mean I didn't do it. I didn't think of it.
Right.
That's all.
Well, you're very welcome.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, super fun.
That was a fun time. So what else do you guys have planned? Are you doing anything in particular for like during this time off besides writing? Or you're not going to release anything? Are you going to do any other type of content stuff?
We already did for no reason at all. We just put up a cover of do you know Jerry Rafferty, like old 70s artist?
No, I don't.
There's this Jerry Rafferty song that me and my guitarist, actually my whole band loves, but we were both in Nashville together in the studio working on our record. And I started writing this song that kind of sounded like that old Jerry Rafferty song. And
which song?
It's called Right Down the Line.
Yeah, I do know that song.
Yeah.
I just looked him up.
For no reason at all, we decided to cover that song and then put up a video on YouTube, like a studio version of it. And then we did it. Radio stations were hitting up our management, like, what's this? Can we play this? And now radio stations are playing it.
You're going to have to play that forever now.
We will never play it live.
You're going to have to.
It didn't even get very many hits on YouTube, but old radio programmers are like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Dude, that's like the thing with active rock now is all these bands get pretty popular with these cover songs.
Yeah, but that's not what it is. Like, we'll never.
No, I know, I know. That's not what you would want to do.
We just
I fucking hate doing covers.
Yeah, so do I.
I hate it.
When we did a Billie Eilish cover on our last tour, that was a blast because it was so unexpected.
I don't mind playing them.
Right. But oh, yeah, you don't want to record them.
No, I don't like ever putting them out. It just feels like a cheap trick to me. And we just did it too, so.
Really?
Yeah, we did Thriller, Michael Jackson.
That's sick.
Yeah, I mean,
are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to
it's the perfect climate for it. You know, because he's not innocent or guilty or whatever that.
I'm pretty sure he's quite guilty.
I know. And like, that's why it's the perfect climate, right? We release a Michael Jackson cover when everyone loves Michael Jackson. We're just real smart, you know?
Real smart.
Yeah. Yeah, so we did that. Well, we did that in October.
Got it.
Yeah,
we don't plan on doing anything else like that. I think we're just focusing on this record. We just finished a song that we're going to have Chris Lord-Alge mix because he mixes all of our stuff.
Nice.
And he's still working throughout this pandemic. So, like, we've sent him a couple things already just to, like, start to piece together an album that's actually complete. Mm-hmm. And there's this one song that I'm just so in love with, and it like we just recently finished it and like sort of cracked the code on it. You know, some of those songs you're just like, this is so great, but I just can't figure out like what the combination, like what's missing.
Right.
And we just sort of got to that point with this one, and I'm now like back and forth with the team and the label and everyone. I was like, can we just figure out a way to get this out? It's so good, but then we're running into that issue with, you know, it could be a massive radio song. It could be like a ghost. That's what we think.
Yeah, but dude, do you think about that 21 Pilots song out right now? Have you heard that song?
Yeah, I know about it. I haven't even heard it yet.
It's fucking incredible,
first of all.
Yeah. But two, it's like it's the first single to knock off Panic at the Disco for over like almost 2 years from number one. Yeah.
Wow.
You know? So you never know.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'll go back to the team.
You should tell them that Joe from Ice Nine said that it might be a good idea.
And he's vegan, so.
Yeah. Tell him that.
I will. I'll tell them that.
You've been vegan for a long time, right?
Sorry?
You've been vegan for a long time.
I have, like, 5 years
or
more.
That's right. I remember. All right.
Just an FYI warning. I have to leave soon.
Oh, I was just going to say we should wrap up. I've kept you for over an hour. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah, anything else that you wanted to say, promote, whatever?
No, I just think this is a dope little podcast you're doing. It's been really nice, like, getting to know you properly. And when this is over, we should hang.
Yeah, I know I asked you all the questions this time, but we'll definitely hang out and you can ask me the questions.
Yeah, or we'll do this again. We'll do this again if you.
Yeah, dude, I'm around. Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We'll talk soon, all right?
Sounds good. Be safe.
All right, dude. See ya. Rub my shoulders with the kings. And I was draped in golden velvet, bathing in applause while I was jumping through the rings. And then the cooks would sound a bell, and all the kings would lick their lips. But I couldn't find a placemat. The dinner table's full and there's no room for me to sit. Is there anybody out there looking out for me? Just say you want me, just say you need me. Is there anybody out there looking out for me? Does anybody need me? Is every last soul just fucking me over? With tears on their shoes and ice on their shoulders.
Reached is 100.7 WMMS.
It wasn't just a radio station, it was a lifestyle.
Cleveland is a rock and roll city for sure.
I do like the Chicago's.
Get down!
The Wrath of the Buzzard. WMMS. Cleveland.
The rise and fall of one of the most iconic radio stations in America. Profiles. The Wrath of the Buzzard. PROH Files. Subscribe now wherever you get podcasts.